I would invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 2, reading verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 2, 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against sword, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. We look around the world today, and we are confronted with many of the same problems, many of the same issues that Isaiah faced in his day. There were wars, there were famines, there were many other causes for distress, and for wondering where God might be, or even if God cared any more about his people or about the world as a whole. People were longing for peace, and they were looking hopefully for something that would bring goodness rather than destruction. And they were looking for a peace and a hope that comes in the calm and quiet of God and of God's presence. They cried out for such. And here Isaiah, in this particular speech that is given, is talking about a time of peace where weapons of war will be turned into implements of good, into implements that provide for goodness rather than destruction. Yet, it's kind of difficult for us to often wait and wait patiently. As I mentioned to the children earlier, it's sometimes hard to wait for Christmas. And then it gets difficult to wait for the Easter Bunny. Bok, bok. If you remember the commercials, the Cadbury commercials. It's hard for us to wait patiently on a lot of things. And I've told you before, and I do continue to admit, yellow means go very fast and get through. How many of us like to sit at the traffic light? Especially if we're in a hurry. Seems like if you're in a hurry, you catch every light. If you got all the time in the world, you got green sailing all the way through. Patience. Waiting patiently. Hoping for something to happen good. In this particular passage, there is talk of nations streaming to the highest mountain where God is seen as present. And we often think of that in terms of hustling and bustling. And while there may be that, I also want us to think about the hope that comes in the hush when we are in God's presence. Father Edward Hayes, writing about Advent, called Advent a time when our spirit combs the starry sky with hope and longing. He writes, "Advent is a lifelong profession of patient longing, knowing in our hearts that Emmanuel not only comes down, but Emmanuel comes forth, emerging into our world and into our lives. When we allow Advent to take root and to grow within our hearts, I think, we will have our lives deepened with God's understanding. And Hayes writes further, like a hush, it slips into the emptiness even within the hustle and bustle of life, and becomes a knowing, familiar presence that goes with us wherever we go all of our lives. He speaks of Advent as a hush. A hush. How many times do we spend our Advents rushing? Rushing around, looking for that perfect gift, getting those decorations done, rushing around buying the food that we're going to eat, and eat, and eat, and eat again. But here he's talking about the hush that comes gently and sometimes comes even through difficulties, suffering, anxiety, and even stress. But waiting on the hush of Advent is a spiritual phenomenon as well. It's something that evolves or grows throughout a life of hope and learning. Hope and hearing. Hear what Isaiah writes of this hope of peace, justice, and freedom from fear. He gives a tremendous vision of longing for peace. And while many people would be cynical about such a vision, peace in this world? You've got to be kidding me. The faith spoken of here is indispensable for the hope needed by our world. A hope where all nations come to God, where all nations live together, where all nations and all people walk together in faith, righteousness, and brotherhood. How great is the world's need for such faith that holds out that hope and that longing, and such faith that doesn't just believe it's possible with God, but then moves forward into action in hope and righteousness and brotherhood. It's a faith that can inspire and give power to maintain hope for peace and love. And of course, we look at the world out there and we think, ah, yes, the world is so much in need of that. And yet so are we in here. In our homes, in our church, in our community. It's not just those folks out there that need the good news and need the kind word and need the forgiveness that we can give. It is we who are gathered here that need it as well. Now, while Isaiah speaks of a time in the future, the latter days, the hope is also a present dream. One in which peace can be attained through means other than wars or outer force. The only way this can occur is when people realize that the house or the presence of God is set first and made most prominent, as he says. The house or the presence of God is established first, the highest mountain, and made most prominent. This vision is not of a world standing together because of man-made treaties or man-made decisions. Rather, the world comes together united by a common faith and a common understanding of the Lord. A common faith and a common understanding of the Lord. an understanding of God's desires for the life of His children. This is a supremacy of faith in God, that we come together. That we come together recognizing that God exists and lives even within the world. It's not just to keep us from burning somewhere. It's to change our lives and the lives of those around us as we live in love. The whole face of the world can be changed only when persons organize their lives around the reality and the depth of God's teachings, truly acknowledging God instead of just paying mere lip service. You know, there's some folks that have never seen church without poinsettias or Easter lilies. I would dare say that's paying merely lip service. But our lives instead mean walking into the Advent hush along the proper paths with a willingness and an eagerness to learn that new way of life, and a willingness and an eagerness to come together regularly to share that life that we have been given. Such an approach to life brings a great transformation that can result in peace on earth because there is goodwill among men and women. It can result in peace on earth because there is that goodwill between men and women that we share with each other. But that will not happen if we do not share that goodwill with those around us, even in this place. And rather than wars, the calm hush of Advent will make the hope a reality as we live in the light of the Lord. You see, our lives and our relationships are spiritually conditioned, not just physically related, because God gave us that capacity in creation. And only when they are spiritually conditioned together can there be the hope of peace. How can we hope for peace out there if we can't find peace in here? Hayes wrote to a friend of his who was facing his very last Christmas because of cancer. And I'd like to share part of an excerpt from that letter. The Christmas hush is nearly here. Let it come to you in your heart this year. Let it settle softly into your soul. Imagine yourself standing at an open door, gazing into the holy night of Christmas. Feel the peace in your heart and the sacred sense of God filling you, coming to enfold you. Let the Christmas hush become an ocean surrounding you and carrying all your worries away, bringing you childlike faith and trust as its Christmas gifts of hope. As we await the coming of Jesus again, as we prepare our celebrations, the hope of the world, let us remember that the coming of Advent within our hearts is a lifelong process of hope that sets the presence of God and the corresponding love with fellow Christians as the most prominent priorities in life. As our preparation begins, let us remember with joy that God has been guiding us to hope, and that God has been celebrating Advent, His Advent, all of this time, waiting with hushed expectation and preparing for the eternal heart of hearts to bring us into the hope of peace. Because you see, God has acted on our behalf in Jesus' birth, His life, His death and resurrection, so that He could guide us into the hope of the world, so that we might truly rejoice in living that hope. Would you join me in prayer? Oh God of hope and peace, grace and forgiveness, life even after death, bring us once again to that hope of the world, Jesus, in a fresh way. Help us to be so in tune with the hush of Christmas that our lives might calm down. And even in the middle of moving around and preparing and greeting each other and sharing in laughter and food and fellowship, there will be that place of calm assurance, sharing it with those around us so that they too can find the hope. We ask these things in the name of Your Son, the bringer of hope, Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 290, and our altar is open for any decision that you might make, whether that decision is to make a first-time commitment to Christ, to renew your commitment to God in the Christ, to join with this fellowship, or to once again renew and recommit yourself to that hope of love and peace, not just from God, but through us to each other, and that we might sing it out with gladness as those people of old who had waited so long sang out. Hymn number 290, "As with gladness, men of old." And I want us to sing all four verses, if we could please. Hymn number 290.